نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد. So we're going to go through the blessed life of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Now first and foremost, the real name of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu was Khalid ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. But his name after his son Abu Ayyub became so famous that people seldom know or knew his real name. So if you said to somebody, who's Khalid ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu? Right? Very few would say, oh, that's Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. An example of this can be seen right towards the end of Uthman's Khalifat radiallahu anhu. In Ibn al-Athir is recorded, the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu was surrounded by the rebels and the Khalif was not in a position to come out of his dwelling. The people asked Ali radiallahu anhu to come into the Prophet's masjid and lead the prayers. As Ali radiallahu anhu did not agree to their proposal, he instead asked them, he goes, approach Khalid ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu for that purpose. So the people started looking at each other. Who's Khalid ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu? It was then that Ali radiallahu anhu made them aware of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu's real name, and that is Khalid ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. So that, and I mentioned the whole narration about why Uthman did not leave his dwelling in his Khalifah radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu belonged to the tribe of Najjar, the Banu Najjar. The Holy Prophet ﷺ was related to the family of Najjar through his mother, Amina radiallahu anhu. Thus, you note straight away that he was the cousin, distant cousin, maternal cousin of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was born some 31 years before the Hijrah in Al-Madinah. Hence, when the Prophet ﷺ had proclaimed his mission in Makkah, he was a man of 18 years. So he was 22 years younger than the Prophet ﷺ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preached many years in Makkah, but only a handful of people believed in his message. However, news had reached him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in Yathrib, some of his people had embraced Islam, and it was making a slow headway amongst his people. Some of the Yathribites had embraced Islam when they had heard the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preaching in the marketplaces of Uqaz during the pilgrimage season. They had embraced Islam then and there and started to propagate the faith on the return to Al-Madinah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ as such decided to send one of his eminent companions, Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, to Al-Madinah, and an ambassador to preach the faith and to assess the conditions there. Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu stayed in Al-Madinah carrying out his blessed mission diligently and successfully until almost every house amongst the Ansar had a Muslim within their household. Through Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu's efforts, prominent personalities amongst the Ansar, including their chiefs, embraced Islam. We discussed this yesterday. It was through Hazrat Mus'ab radiallahu anhu's efforts that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu also embraced Islam. In Ibn Hisham in his Sirah 1-435, Za'ad al-Ma'ad 2-51, it is recorded. Shortly before the approach of the following pilgrimage season, i.e. the 13th year of the Prophethood, Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu returned to Makkah carrying to the Holy Prophet ﷺ the glad news of the new fertile soil in Al-Madinah, a city that was bound to provide to the cause of Islam. In the same year, during the season of the pilgrimage, over 70 converts or reverts from Al-Madinah came to pledge their allegiance to the Holy Prophet ﷺ with the oft-repeated question amongst themselves. In Ibn Hisham ibn Sirah, it is recorded that they said, isn't it high time we protect the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instead of leaving him forsaken, deserted and stumbling in the hillocks of Makkah? So the Sahaba of Al-Madinah were really upset because we are living a life of ease, obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in Makkah we need to bring him over because his life's in danger.
Just
to add a bit to that.
You know, it's like Ansar.
Yeah.
The Ansar embraced Islam.
Yeah.
Well, the Prophet came in after many years.
Oh, right.
There was some that made
sure. Oh, they didn't see the Prophet
before that.
Yeah, that's that's a good question. Oh, I don't know. So the question is, just for the tape, some of the Sahaba, some of the people embraced Islam through Mus'ab's efforts, radiallahu anhu. But If they had died without seeing the Prophet, does that make them Sahaba? At the very least, they ta'bir. But maybe it's to do with the intention. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This pledge, known as the second Aqaba pledge in the 13th year, was done secretly in one of the hillocks outside Makkah. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was amongst the 70 blessed personalities who had given their pledge to the Holy Prophet that famous night. It was during this blessed night that the Holy Prophet decided to migrate to the blessed city of Al-Madinah. The blessed Prophet on his return to Makkah awaited his Lord's command to migrate. Eventually, the command was given. And together with Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, the Prophet migrated. The unbelieving Quraysh had found out about the imminent emigration of the Prophet ﷺ and had tried their best to stop him, not only in Makkah, but also after he had migrated. But with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, together with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after a few days journeying, had reached the safety of Quba, a town just a few miles outside of Al-Madinah. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stayed a few days in Quba. The first thing he ﷺ did in Quba was to build a masjid there, described by the Almighty Himself in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 108. A masjid built on the foundation of taqwa. Some of the Mufassirun say it refers to Masjid al-Nabi. There is no contradiction, because they were both built on the foundation of taqwa. The Holy Prophet, after his short stay in Quba, then made his way to Al-Madinah on his blessed camel. The Holy Prophet entered the blessed city of Al-Madinah on a Friday. The Ansar radiallahu anhum were all expecting the blessed Prophet and had all come out in their numbers to greet him. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhum had also come out and was standing very close to the blessed camel of the Holy Prophet. The first thing the blessed Prophet did was to perform the Jumbah prayer in the blessed city. After the prayer, when the Holy Prophet had mounted his camel, the Ansar radiallahu anhum were all begging the Holy Prophet ﷺ to stay with and honor them in their residence. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, instead of refusing or accepting their offers and pleadings, he simply pointed to his blessed camel and he replied to all the Ansar radiallahu anhum around him in Ibn Hisham al-Sira, "Let her go on her way. She has been instructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." In other words, wherever Allah the Almighty wants to stay, I'll stay. In another narration, in Za'ad al-Ma'ad 2-55 and others, the camel continued walking, closely followed by the eyes and the hearts of the people of Al-Madinah. When it went past the house, its owner would feel sad and dejected, and hopes would rise in the hearts of the others still on the route. The camel continued in this fashion, with the people following it, until it hesitated at an open space in front of the house of Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. But the Prophet ﷺ did not get down immediately. After only a short while, the camel set off again, the Prophet ﷺ leaving its reins loose. Before long, however, it turned back around. It retraced its steps and stopped on the same spot as before. The blessed host, Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, stepped forward with unbounded joy for the divine blessing appropriated to him. He welcomed the noble guest and he solicited him into his dwelling. So it first stopped, then it moved forward. So Abu Ayyub thought, radiallahu anhu, I'm not blessed with that. But then it came back to that very spot. So it occurred with the will of Allah the Almighty, the Majestic, that this honor of being the Holy Prophet ﷺ's host was granted to Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu by Allah the Almighty himself. Now Hazrat Abu Ayyub's dwelling radiallahu anhu had two stories, two floors. He radiallahu anhu emptied the upper floor and of his and his family's possessions so that the blessed Prophet ﷺ together with his family could stay there. But the Holy Prophet ﷺ preferred to stay on the lower floor. So Abu Ayyub said, fine, O Messenger of Allah. So he stayed in the top, the Prophet ﷺ stayed at the bottom. Night came and the Holy Prophet ﷺ retired. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu went up to the upper floor. But when they had closed the door, a deep sense of anxiety and stress fell upon both Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu and his wife radiallahu anha. Now why were they worried? In Tabarani, Kanzul Umal, volume 1, page 294, Ibn Asakir, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 345-6 of the English translation and others. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu himself reports, the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to Al-Madinah and he stayed with me radiallahu anhu. He was living on the lower floor whilst I was on the upper floor. When evening came, I became extremely anxious and I passed the whole night in restlessness, for I was thinking that I am standing between him and the revelation. So he thought that Jibreel alayhi salam will have a problem because his floor is in the way. Early next morning, I submitted to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I and my wife did not sleep a wink the whole night. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with concern, looked, why is this, O Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu? So I said, I thought to myself, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I am on the upper floor of such a dwelling that you are staying under the same, and if I make even a little movement on the upper floor, it may cause dust to blow and you might feel some trouble. In addition, I might also stand between you and the revelation. And then the Prophet smiled and then he said, did you not sleep at all, O Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu? Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu answered, how do you think I could sleep, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when above me is Allah the Almighty, the Majestic, and below me is His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Holy Prophet smiled and said, do not worry, O Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu. So the scholars point out, how many people could say that? How many people on earth could say that? Above me is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Below me is the Messenger of Allah. So it maybe was a unique situation, a unique statement from a unique man. You understand? But this doesn't mean that he's in the heavens. In a further narration, it continues, in Ibn Asakir, Tabarani, Kanz al-Umal, volume 1, page 294, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 346 of the English translation and others. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu relates, we submitted to the Prophet's wishes until one cold night. So they're still on the top floor. One cold night, a jar of ours broke and the water spilled on the upper floor. My wife, Umm Ayyub radiyallahu anha, and I stared in horror at the water. We only had one piece of velvet which we used as a blanket. We used it to mop up the water out of fear and that it would seep through to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what happened was the blanket that they had, because we used that to dry the water. In the morning I went to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I do not like to be above you, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and told him what had happened. He finally accepted my wish and we changed floors. So just to mention that again, because there was a lot of screaming going on there, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the upper floor, the water spilled. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, just to mention that again. So Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu was on the top floor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, don't worry. But one fateful night, water spilled. So he looked in horror because he thought the water would seep down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They only had one blanket, velvet. So they sacrificed the blanket to dry the water. And then the following morning, they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exactly what had happened. And they goes, please let us go on the bottom floor. And then finally the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, I will go on the top floor. So what you learn from this is how much love he had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You understand? How much love he did not want him to be hurt even in the least, even by water falling upon him, even though probably it was impossible. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to stay in Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu's blessed dwelling for almost 7 months, until his masjid was completed on the open space where his camel had stopped. He eventually moved to the rooms which were built around the masjid for himself and his blessed family. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu thus became a neighbor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a noble neighbor to have. So he is made the neighbor. So in other words, they built the masjid next to his dwelling. In the 6th month of the Hijrah, when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam established the relations as a brotherhood between the Muhajirun and the Ansar, Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu was honored with being paired with Hazrat Mus'ab ibn Umair radiyallahu anhu. That's why I put these blessed lives together. He was the brother of the Mus'ab radiyallahu anhu, and he was the same companion through whose efforts he embraced Islam. That narration about him embracing Islam is in Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham al-Sira, and Ibn Kathir Sira, about them pairing up. So why they paired up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but it was a great honor for him. As Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu continued to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with all his heart, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also loved him extremely dearly. There was no formality between them. Even after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had moved out of the dwelling of Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu, he was still regard his dwelling like his own dwelling. So even though the Prophet left his house, he was still regarded as his own. The following is a beautiful narration And it shows how great deal about the relationship between them. So this is what it is. Ibn Hibban, it's Sahih. Tabarani, Targhib, Volume 3, page 431. Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 1, page 379 to 381 of the English translation. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, reports. Once Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, left his dwelling in scorching heat, and he reached the masjid of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Umar radiallahu anhu found out about this, he asked him, he goes, "Oh Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, why are you here at this hour? This is not the time for salat." Abu Bakr replied radiallahu anhu, "I was forced to leave my dwelling because of intolerable hunger." So this proves that by the time they had migrated, he had spent all his wealth. Umar radiallahu anhu said, "By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have also left my home for the very same reason. I'm starving as well." In the meantime, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also came there and he asked, "Why have you both come here at this time, at this hour?" They replied, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have left our homes only because of intolerable hunger." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "I swear by the one who holds my life in his hands, I too have come out for the same reason. So get up, let us go." They then left the masjid and came to the residence of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari radiyallahu. So in other words, no formality, just went there. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiyallahu who used to keep something to eat all the time, separate food or milk for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even though he left his dwelling, he would keep some food stuff for him. On that day, however, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not get to his residence in time. Therefore, he had given the food to his family and they had gone to the garden. When they came to the door of Abu Ayyub's residence radiyallahu, his wife came to welcome him saying, "Marhaba, Ya Rasulullah." "Welcome, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He asked her, "Where is your husband, Abu Ayyub radiyallahu?" In the meantime, Abu Ayyub radiyallahu, who was working in the garden of dates, he also got news of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's arrival. He rushed immediately to his residence and he said, "Welcome, welcome, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and welcome to those who are with you." Then he said this, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there must be some extraordinary reason due to which you have come here at this unexpected time. It is not your usual time." The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "You are right." And this shows how they knew each other. Then he, Abu Ayyub, went to the garden and brought a whole bunch of dates, some of them dried, some ripe and some unripe. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on seeing the dates, "Why have you brought all this? You should have only brought this dried dates." He replied, "O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you may eat any of these, dried or ripe, unripe, whichever you like the most. In the meantime, while you eat with your respected guests, I'm going to slaughter a goat for you." The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "If you're going to slaughter, then don't slaughter an animal, i.e. a goat or sheep producing milk." Therefore, he, Abu Ayyub, took a kid, i.e. 1 year or 2 years old, possibly younger, and he slaughtered this. He then asked his wife, "Knead some flour and bake the bread, for you know how to make bread." He then roasted half the mutton and prepared soup from the remaining half. When the meal was served to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum, he placed some roasted mutton over the bread and asked Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhum, "O Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhum, send this food to Fatima, my daughter radiallahu anha, for she has not taken food like this for several days." Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu promptly carried that to Fatima radiallahu anhu. When they had finished eating to their fill, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, "Bread, mutton, dried dates, ripe dates and unripe dates." After saying this, he sighed and the tears began to roll down his blessed eyes. Then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "By the one who holds my soul in his hand, these are the very blessings about which you will be questioned on the day of resurrection." So his companions then stopped. They got hurt. They were questioned about this. Then he said, noticing their anxiety, "Whenever you take such type of meals, always say this, Bismillah, and when you finish, Alhamdulillahilladhi ashba'ana wa an'ama fa afdala. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who fed us to our fill, has bestowed his favors upon us and has had mercy upon us." When you recite this dua, one would be safe from questioning about that food on the day of resurrection. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving the place, he asked Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu to visit him the next morning. He says, "Make sure you come to my dwelling tomorrow." For it was his habit to reward the person who had done some favor to him. By chance, Abu Ayyub could not hear this, radiallahu. So Umar radiallahu, however, said, I informed him that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had asked him to visit him in the morning. When he came to him in the next morning, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented a slave girl to him, prisoner of war, and said, O Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, treat her well, for she has met only good behavior since living with us. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu brought her from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his home, and he said, Abu Ayyub is now worried. He goes, how can I treat her well? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam must treat her well. I don't know a better way to stand by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's promise other than to set her free. Therefore he freed her. So the reason I mentioned that long narration was to show how intimate they were, and look at the love that Abu Ayyub had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, slaughtering left, right and center. And then look at the command he gave, treat her well. And he thought this would be a disrespect. If I shout at her once, I've disobeyed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he goes, the only way to get out of it is to set her free. And he set her free. From the above blessed narration, one can see that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu would keep a certain share of his rizq just for the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? And but if he didn't come at a certain time, then he'd give it to his family members. What you learn from this was they look into the deal. In Sahih Muslim, Mishkat, volume 2, page 136, number 54, the same was true vice versa. As Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu himself reports, whenever any food was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would eat something from that and then send the excess to me. So it was the true vice versa. When he ate, he goes, give this to Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. One day he sent me a bowl of food without eating anything from there because there was garlic in it. So he had complete food. When I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I asked him, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the food haram? No, replied he with a smile, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but I don't like it, i.e. garlic, on account of its bad smell. I replied, then I don't also like it. I also don't like it. So this narration shows how much they loved the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't like it, I don't like it. So this is the extreme love they had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We'd ask the obvious question, is that a sunnah? Right? But this just shows how weak we become. In a further narration, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the reason why he refused garlic. In Bukhari and Muslim, in their Sahih, as a Jabir radiallahu reports, take it, some bone, meat, mixed green vegetables and garlic to some of my companions. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, eat, because I whisper with the one with whom you don't whisper. Jibreel alayhi salam. In other words, I'm not going to harm him with this smell. Hazrat Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu had so much love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he also refused to eat garlic for the rest of his life. He didn't make it haram because I'm not going to eat it because the Prophet didn't eat it. This blessed narration and many others of a like nature expose the mentality of certain Muslims who say there are certain sunnah which there's no point in following. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had certain likes and dislikes. He was a man and as an Arab, hence there's no reward in following any of these actions of his. Subhanallah, the ignorance of these individuals is simply beyond comprehension. Do these ignorant ones dare accuse with this logic of theirs that Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was doing a futile act by refraining from garlic? Let these people reflect upon the following verse of the Holy Quran, Surah Imran, Surah 3, verse 155. If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you and forgive you your sins. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanaka allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun alal mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bilhaqq wa tawassaw bis sabr.